Smith II there, Children's Worship. Next comes the time of scripture reading. The passage today will be coming from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. Since it's a short passage, we'll be reading this together. If you have your Bibles, you may open to that, but the words will also be on screen. The word of the Lord states, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast has that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to him. The Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" We now give the following time to Pastor Lyle.
Thank you. John, is that loud enough? Okay, thank you. Today my sermon topic is, are you ready? If you ask me if I'm ready for the sermon, I don't know. Because I have many nightmares that I forgot to bring my preaching notes. Every time when I was preaching, I don't have the preaching notes with me. So it was scared. So nowadays, I put all my electronic files in my small computer and also on my cell phone, in case this computer doesn't work, then I have the cell phone. And I also put my electronic files in the cloud, so everywhere you can find my sermon. I sell it to China in case our Google doesn't work. I still have QQ, everything. So on many situations, we like to ask people, are you ready? Or we ask ourselves, am I ready? And depending on the nature of the question, you may reply in a casual way. For example, if I ask you, are you ready for my sermon? Then you may think, oh, do I have to answer the question? Or you may say, of course I'm ready, because I come to church 5 minutes early. Or you may respond, well, if your sermon is boring, I'm not ready. So, but whatever answer you give, it is okay, as no one is going to check your readiness. However, there are situations that our readiness is tested in a serious way. For example, if you go to a college entrance exam, a professional certification exam, or even a driving license exam, the test score you get determines your readiness. Everyone knows you are not ready if you fail the test, or if your score is below the requirements. The test score does not lie. If you go to a voting center to vote your next president, but you find out you know none of the presidential candidates on the ballot, what should you do? And then you text your friends, but no one will answer you. And then you are not ready. You are not ready to vote, as you can only pick a name randomly. Or if you go to a wedding party, just after a gym workout, you have not dressed properly, and you have no time to buy a gift. And the worst part is that you also find out you do not recognize the newlyweds or the host. And then you are not ready to join the party, as you have gone to the wrong place. Today is a Palm Sunday. Today is the Palm Sunday. We know it's a day to remember a special event 2,000 years ago. On that day, Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem. And actually, this was not the first time Jesus visited Jerusalem. However, on that day, the people were excited. They were excited to welcome him, not just as an honorable visitor, but also as a king. They visited, they welcomed him as their king. We all know that at that time, the Israelites had lost their country, Israel, for hundreds of years. They did not have a king of their own to protect them. They were under the harsh control by the foreign powers, from the Babylonians to the Persians, to the Greeks, and now to the Romans. Their lives were difficult. And now their hope was on Jesus. They wished he could bring them a better home, a better place to live. On the Palm Sunday, they thought they were ready for a king. However, 5 days later, we know that they crucified Jesus on the cross. What an irony it was. Maybe you have heard the story of Palm Sunday many times. I hope the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us as we are going to ask ourselves 3 questions. Am I ready to travel to a better home? Am I ready to meet my King? Am I ready to live forever with my God? Today is a time for us to reflect where we are on our spiritual journey. Palm Sunday, of course, is signified with palm branches or palm trees. The palm branches are lovely. Look at them, they are lovely. And the palm trees also have economic use. For example, their leaves can be woven into mats. The tree's sap can produce syrup, vinegar, and liquor. The tree trunks provide timber. The palm seeds give palm oil. And depending on the type of palm trees, the coconut tree, you know, is a sub family of the palm trees. Depending on the type of palm trees, we may have coconuts, dates, nuts, and fruits. In the Bible, the palm branches have appeared in several occasions. The first occasion that mentions palm tree is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. This happened around 3,500 years ago. And actually, the book of Exodus was about the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Long time ago, Abraham was a righteous man on the earth. And God promised him that his descendants were plenty, and they would possess a land of milk and honey. His better home was in Canaan, today's Middle East. And later, Abraham's descendants, known as the Israelites, became slaves in Egypt. Not only they lost their freedom, but they also faced the danger of destruction. So they cried out to God, God gave to the Egyptians 10 plagues, from water turned into blood to the death of firstborn child. And then the Egyptians agreed to let the Israelites go. However, the king of Egypt later changed his mind and sent an army to chase them. And now approximately 2 million Israelites had nowhere to run as they came to the shore of the Red Sea. What did they do? They grumbled. They grumbled against Moses. Why did you bring us to die here in the desert? Was it because there was no grace in Egypt? What did Moses do? Moses prayed to God. God then helped them to cross the sea safely by sending strong winds to separate the waters. Nevertheless, the Egyptians were drowned halfway on the sea passage as the winds stopped suddenly. So after this Red Sea miracle, the better home was within reach. It's not far away, only about 350 miles away. It's not far. Of course, if you drive, it takes me maybe 7 hours. But for the Israelites, the journey, even by walking, should take less than a month. Were the Israelites ready to move on? Were they ready to cross the desert and go to the better home? They thought they were ready. And then they walked in the desert for 3 days. They walked in the wilderness for 3 days. They found no water. They were thirsty. At last they discover a pool of water. But the water was bitter, undrinkable. So what did they do? As usual, they grumbled against Moses. What are we to drink? Even after they saw with their own eyes the miraculous separation of the waters at the Red Sea, they still did not trust God. What they concerned the most was how to survive in the desert. There was no food to eat, no water to drink, and no place to sleep. Moses, what did Moses do? Moses then called on God for help. God pointed to a piece of wood. There's a wood. And Moses picks the wood, throw it into the water, and the water turns to sweet. The people drank the water as much as they could. Now, God knew the Israelites were not ready. They were not ready to go to the better home. And therefore, God gave them a test. The test was to follow three rules. You can say there are 3 rules there. 1, listen carefully to the voice of God with your ears. Listen. And the 2nd one, do what is right in God's eyes with your hands. Do it right. And 3, obey the commands and decrees with your heart. There are 3 rules for them to do. This is a test. In other words, the test was to test whether they will trust God. If they could trust God every day, they would pass the test. And then they would travel safely to the better home. The Israelites kept silent. They did not say anything. They refused to say anything. And just when they were still worrying about tomorrow, God led them up to a new place called Elim. In the desert, this place had an oasis. They found 12 springs and 70 big palm trees. Now, they had cool water to drink from the springs. That's good. And fresh fruits to eat from the trees. They had trees. They had trees shade to cool down their body heat. In addition, they can use the palm branches to make booths to sleep in. And then they camped near the waters for a number of days, enjoying a free vacation. The palm trees in Elam provided the Israelites a good start of the journey. However, if we continue to read the book of Exodus, you know they kept wandering and grumbling on the journey. When they arrived at the border of Canaan, they even refused to go in because they were scared of the inhabitants there. They failed the test. As a result, God allows them to wander in the desert for 40 years. They were not ready to go to the better home. My friends, are you ready to travel to a better home? Jesus has promised us a better home. The better home is not found on this earth, but in heaven. Everything on this earth is temporary. The things we possess, such as our career and health, career and wealth, family and friends, enjoyment and hurting, losers and gains, failure and victory, sickness and health, all will pass away. I do not know if you are passionate for the better home in heaven. There are times that you may love this world so much that you think you are already in heaven, and that you are not ready to go to the better home. There are also times that you may feel you are in the desert. You do not know where to go, what to do, and how to survive. You are tired, scared, not trusting anyone, not even God. And then the better home sounds just like a mirage to us. A mirage to us. It's an illusion, not real. God gave a test to the Israelites to see if they were ready to go to a better home in Canaan. This is also the same test to us, to see if we are ready to go to the better home in heaven. When you trust God in your life, you are ready to move on. The story keeps on. After wandering in the desert for 40 years, the Israelites of the first generation were all dead. Only their children could enter Canaan for a better home. And later, of course, we know they built a strong country, Israel. And the dream of a better home was achieved. In the better home, God asked the Israelites to celebrate a festival. The festival was called the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Each year, they celebrated the festival for 7 days after the harvest in the fields. And during the festival, they used the palm branches to make temporary shelters to sneak in. The purpose was to commemorate God's provision in the desert with the palm branches in Elam as the first evidence. The palm branches continues to play a significant role in the time of Jesus. On a particular Sunday, the first day to celebrate the Feast of Booths, a great crowd of people gathered in Jerusalem. It was a party time. They ate, they drank, and they made dance on the streets, and they gave thanks to God. And this year, the highlight of the celebration was the appearance of Jesus. Jesus was riding on a young donkey to enter Jerusalem, very humble. And the people were excited to see Jesus. They ran to him. They spread their clothes and tree branches on the road for Jesus to pass through. They also waved the palm branches in their hands to welcome him. They shouted loudly, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna is a shout of praises. The word Hosanna simply means, "Oh, please save me, please save me." The people were praying to Jesus to save them. Obviously, the paving of the road with the people's cross, the waving of the palm trees in their hands, and the shouting of Hosanna, King of Israel, Kingdom of David, had painted a magnificent picture of welcoming a royal king. How did the people know Jesus was their king? They had already seen or heard many miracles Jesus had performed in various cities. Just a few days ago, the breaking news that Jesus had raised a young man from the grave in Bethany spread throughout Jerusalem. So everyone wanted to see this great healer, this great and maybe possible savior. So when they saw Jesus riding on a donkey to enter to Jerusalem, it was also a sign to fulfill a promise of God. The prophet Zechariah had prophesied about 500 years before their time that God would give them a king. Zechariah said this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." On a colt, the foal of a donkey. On that day, these people believed Jesus was their promised God, a promised king, who would bring the final victory to them. However, they were wondering why Jesus kept silent along the way. Jesus did not say anything, not even give a victory speech. Did these people really know Jesus? Were they ready to meet the king? Then on Friday, the Jewish religion leaders arrested Jesus, accusing him of blasphemy, as he had claimed some time ago, not long ago, to be the Son of God. When the Roman ruler, Pontius Pilate, asked the people, the festival goers, what would they do with Jesus, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It is hard to imagine that the same people who had hailed Jesus as their king just 5 days ago now howled at Jesus as if he was a murderer who deserved death penalty. Obviously, they were not ready to meet the king. They did not know their king at all. How about us? Are you ready to meet your king? Sometimes we are just festival goers who are happy to join the crowd. We go to church to celebrate with many people on the Palm Sunday, the Easter Sunday, and the Christmas Day because we can feel good in these festivals. Our king does not want festival goers. Jesus is not a king whom we only wave palm leaves at a distance, shouting aloud, "Hosanna, please save me." He's a king who wants to relate to each one of us personally. that we may become his friend, walking daily together. On the third day after Jesus' crucifixion, he was raised from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. He had victory over death, so that we will also have the victory over death. 40 days later, he descended to his heavenly home. But that's not the end of the story about palm branches. Jesus has told us, he told us he will return to the earth. As he said this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus goes back to heaven to prepare a better home for us. He will come back to bring us to live with him. Are you ready to live forever with your God in a better home? Many scriptures in the Bible talk about the return of Jesus. Because of time, I cannot talk everything. I would like to point out a few important things regarding his second coming in four areas. First area is about the purpose of his return. If you look at all these scriptures, it's saying Jesus will bear sin no more. When he comes, he will bear sin no more. And he will judge the world with justice. He will transform Christians' lowly bodies into the glorious bodies. He will reward individual Christians according to what they have done. Now about the date of his return. No one knows on what day Jesus will come. It can be today. It can be any day in the future. He will come unexpectedly like a thief at night. It's so quiet, so unexpected. And if anyone says, today many people said this, "Jesus has come. Look, there he is." And it is a lie. And how about the scene of his return? The Bible says Jesus will return from heaven with crowds around him. He is accompanied with many powerful angels. He looks majestic. His face is shining like the sun, and his clothes are bright as a flash of lightning. And from the sky, we can hear a shout of order, the voice of a chief angel, and the trumpet call. And what will the people respond to his return? All peoples, not just someone's, but all peoples on earth will see the coming of Jesus. And the people are saying peace and safety, not knowing destruction will come on them suddenly. And then they will mourn, because now they recognize that Jesus comes to judge them. And the Christian will be caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air. So when Jesus returns, it's a celebration time. Then every Christian who joins the celebration is ready. At that moment, when Jesus returns, everyone is ready. They know very well who Jesus is. Just like Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Revelation about how the believers will celebrate in the better home in heaven. Apostle Paul wrote this: "There is a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, that is Jesus, they are wearing white robes and are holding palm branches in their hands. They cry out in the loud voices, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Thousands and thousands of people are gathering. They will unite with the ones they love. They wear white robes. They were waving the palm branches in their hands like a green ocean swinging back and forth. They shout loudly like thundering. They glorify God and His Son who have finally brought them to such a better home. They know their salvation is complete. And today, are you ready to travel to a better home in heaven? Are you ready to meet your King? Are you ready to live forever with your God? I asked some questions before today's preaching, and they said, no, they're not ready. Have you thought, what should you do to get ready? The Bible gives us actually many things. So many things that we have to do to get prepared for the return of Jesus. And because of time, maybe I can pick 6 things that we can do to get ourselves ready. Number 1, repent of your sins. Only when we ask God to forgive our sins, we can approach God. When Jesus returns, the final judgment begins. The door of salvation is closed. If you are not a believer yet, the best time to repent of sin is now. It's now, not then. And number 2, that things that we may do, do not sleep unclothed. Do you like to sleep naked? I don't know. The book of Revelation, verse 16:15 says this, "Look, I, Jesus, will come like a thief." And usually we refer to the thief come at night. "Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed." Apparently, simply staying awake at night is not enough to prepare for the unexpected coming of Jesus. We need to get dressed as if there is not enough time to find clothes when he returns. Being naked in front of Jesus will be embarrassing. However, being clothed actually refers to our spiritual condition. God's people must put on the garments of salvation and cover up with a robe of righteousness. That's the prophet Isaiah tells us. He said that we have to put on the garments of salvation, put it on, and also a robe of righteousness. In other words, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, God saves us from the eternal death and counts us as righteousness. The dress code to enter the better home in heaven is very strict, covering ourselves with the robes of salvation and righteousness. Without one of them, you are not ready to go to the to meet your King, to meet your God. Without this beautiful cloth, you are not ready to meet your God. Number 3, behave properly. Behave properly in the non-believing world. How do you know you behave properly? Everyone say, "I behave properly." It is not by the world standard. When the non-believers can glorify God because of you, then you have behaved properly. You read these verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, 12. When the non-believers, they can glorify God because of you, then you know you have behaved properly. Number 4, do not grumble in suffering. Of course, some people, they grumble not even in suffering. They grumble all the time. But James verse 5, chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not grumble in suffering. We all know that for the journey to the better home, God does not remove all the difficulties and hardships in front of us. We still have to go through. We show our readiness by not to grumble. We do not copy what the Israelites did when they were in the desert. They grumble all the time. Grumbling is an expression of not trusting God. Next one. Rejoice in sharing the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus suffered a lot on his first coming. Jesus suffered a lot from verbal abuses and physical abuses simply because he wanted to tell the world about the good news of God's salvation. He's only telling the good news. But people attacked him. Today we need to continue his unfinished work. Participating in the gospel work is not fun or not easy. But we do it in joy. We don't do it in in pain or in worried in sadness. But the Bible asks us, we do it in joy. The degree of our joy when we are doing the gospel work indicates our degree of readiness to meet our Savior. Number 6, encourage one another. We live in a world where people are easily discouraged, whether you are a Christian or not. Walking on this journey to the better home in heaven always requires a team spirit. When a brother is down, we go to encourage him. When you are down, you need someone's encouragement. So, my friend, how ready are you? How ready are you? Have you started the things God asked you to do? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, the Palm Sunday, that you remind us who we are and are we ready to meet you. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to save us. Today we remember his triumphant entry into the city, into the holy city of Jerusalem. We also look forward to his return as he has promised. You ask us to get ready. We pray that you will strengthen our faith so that we are not discouraged. Open our eyes so that we can see the better home in heaven. Touch our hearts so that we can walk daily with our Lord. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name.